It's always a blessing to know I didn't scare too many people away, so I appreciate you guys being back this evening. We do appreciate the Gunnels for having us over. It was a good time of food and fellowship, and I will say for those that don't think miracles exist, the Gunnels got my wife to walk through the woods, so that's pretty much a miracle, but I'm thankful for that. It's good to get out and enjoy God's creation sometimes. We're going to speak on something that we probably may not want to hear this evening, but whether we like it or not, it's coming. And we're going to, subject of snow. I know that we always don't like snow. We know it's coming, but growing up, there was always one good thing about snow. And that's a snow day. You know, you get up in the morning and there's a lot of snow. When you learn that school's canceled, it's a good day when you're a kid. You get to stay home. You don't got to go to school. You get to play, relax, stay in. Pretty much it's a free day away from, you know, the normal, you know, struggles of a kid, you know, really not that bad, but you don't got to go to school. And you think about those days. The snow day was a great day. You know, even as an adult, I wake up in the snow and sometimes I hope that it's too deep for me to go to work. I know it's really not a good excuse. We're expected to be there anyway, but, you know, there's days that I still want a snow day in my life. I just want to stay home, relax, maybe do some things around the house, but more than likely just sleep all day or not do anything or enjoy the snow. But we like snow days. And if you will, you turn your Bibles over to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to look at a man, do a bit of a brief character study, a man that's probably not too well known. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've not. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of the group that he belongs in. But in these passages of Scriptures, we're told of David's mighty men. And, you know, these mighty men of valor, and I'm sure you've heard about them to one extent or another. These men that have served David, served Israel, and they were so great and so mighty that they deserve a spot on David's inner guard, his best of the best of the warriors, if you will. And if you look at what some of these men have done, there were so many great feats that have taken place that warriors have taken on armies by themselves or done something so magnificent. If you notice that some of them, I think it was three of them, risked their lives to go back to the city and get David a drink because he wanted the wells from his homeland. And they risked their lives going through the enemy to do that for him. And these men were of great men, of great value, and great war. And we're going to look at this man named Benaiah, and this man refused to take a snow day. Now, in all of my life that I've lived that long, but I have never refused a snow day. I have never once, when my parents told me that schools were closed, that I begged to go to school. You know, on the rare occasions that work is shut down, there's a couple times we didn't have power or whatnot, and we got to go home early or not show up, and I never once refused to take that day off. Just we always want that snow day, but this man, Benaiah, refused to take that snow day. And we're going to pick up our reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 22. And hopefully I get these names right. I'm not sure if I will or not. But Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. And verse 25 says, behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. In the end of verse 22 again, he says, in a snowy day. We see this man, Benaiah, didn't take that snow day. We see here that it was a snowy day. It was a time where, you know, things were difficult. You know, it's not as easy to move about in a snowy day. It's a time that we feel like we can just hunker down and stay warm instead of going out. But we see here Benaiah in that snowy day, he did something great for the king, did something great for the Lord and for the nation of Israel. And we just want to look at a few things of what he did and the reasons why he refused to take that snow day, if you will. But we see, first of all, he was prepared. He was a prepared man. He didn't take his job and duty lightly. We see in verse 22 that Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel.
We see that Benaniah's grandfather was a great warrior. He said he'd done many acts. He'd done many great acts. He was a valiant man, a man of war. And no doubt this grandfather, if you have grandkids, no doubt you pass things down to your grandkids, or at least try to. So no doubt this warrior of a grandfather passed down a thing or two to his grandson about battle, about being prepared for war, about, you know, having war stories, if you will. And no doubt he was prepared. Maybe his grandfather taught him how to throw a punch or throw a spear or use a shield or protect himself in some way. And then we learn also in verse 22 where he says, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, we see, I failed to write it down, but earlier in the book of 1 Chronicles, maybe it's in the book of 1 Kings, we learn about this man being a priest, that his father was a priest. And no doubt he grew up learning how to serve the Lord. His father, the priest, must have taught him about the Lord, how to worship the Lord, how to praise the Lord, how to cry out to the Lord in times of trouble and trial in his life. He grew up watching his father work in the temple and serve the Lord. And no doubt he picked up a thing or two from his father and his grandfather. I think for a young boy's life, there's no greater mentors than his parents and his grandparents, specifically his father and grandfather if they're around. They learn a lot from those two men. That's how they learn about life, and no doubt they learn, you know, their trades, if you will. So we have the training, the preparedness of a warrior as well as a priest to serve the Lord. And as children of God, we both need to learn to prepare to both fight and serve. We're asked to do both at the same time and different times. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is our duty, to train the next generation how to fight, how to go, what he should do in his life. We're told we need to train to fight. You know, it's no secret we're in a battle. In this day and age, we're in a more of a battle than we were before, but even so, we don't suffer as much as our forefathers went through and these great martyrs in the scriptures went through. But we're in a battle. We're in a war. The Lord doesn't try to hide that. We're given the full armor of God. We're told how to protect ourselves, how to defend ourselves, and what we need to do in this battle. We need to train to fight. We think about David and Goliath. You know, probably the most famous fight in the scriptures. We all know it from when we were kids. But, you know, Goliath was a warrior from his youth. From his very youth, he trained to throw a spear. He trained to use a shield. He trained on how to defeat the enemy. That was his job. And just like Goliath was trained up by the Philistines, we need to train up warriors in our life. We need to train up warriors for the Lord. We need to train up the next generation. We ourselves need to prepare for battle. And part of that is passing down the stories of great victories and great battles. You know, I'm sure each one of us have great stories how the Lord worked in our lives. And how sad it is if our grandkids or the next generations or kids or whoever it may be never hear of those victories. Now, we learn in the scriptures where I believe the Lord told Joshua, when Joshua told the people of Israel to set up stones after they crossed the river. And he said the purpose of those stones was when the children asked, why are these stones here? And they were to remind them what the Lord has done to save them, deliver them from the enemy and to cross the river. That was what those stones were for, to tell of the great victories, to build monuments. We see Noah, after the flood, the first thing he did was to build an altar and a monument. And he named that place for a remembrance of what the Lord did for him and his family on that ark. But we need to train up warriors, tell the great victories and battles. And on the other hand, we should be willing to tell of our defeats. We've all been defeated. We've all been wearied. We've all stumbled and fallen. And it's important for us to tell those stories as well. I'm sure Benaniah, listening to his grandfather, and he was a valiant man. But I'm sure his grandfather told him a few failures in his life. A few battles that didn't go his way. A few times that he was close to death because of a situation they got in. We need to tell of the defeats as well as the victories and tell how the Lord worked in our lives. In Psalms 144 and verse 1, David writes, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." David said, "Blessed be the Lord who taught me how to fight, who taught me how to go to war." And as you remember, going into battle against Goliath, he didn't trust in himself. He told Goliath, he didn't tell Goliath that I am going to defeat you this day, that I am going to slay you. He says, the Lord is going to slay you. The Lord is going to defeat you. The Lord has given you into my hand this day. We need to train to fight, be prepared to fight. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul writes, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one beateth the air." So as Paul says that we're in a race, he's fighting the fight. He says, not as one that beateth the air. That is to say, not one that is shadow boxing, not one that is just punching the air. And sometimes you see that in movies of people training, or maybe you see that in life and people training and they just punch the air. Paul says we're not punching the air. We're in a real fight. We have a real enemy. And we need to train to fight. We need to train for that battle. And then we need to train to serve as Benaniah no doubt has done in his life. We think about Elijah and Elisha. And one of my favorite stories there was when Elijah was getting towards the end of his ministry and getting ready to be taken up. And they come across the sea or the river, I can't remember which. And Elijah, you know, cast down his mantle and the sea parted and they were able to walk. And on the way back, Elisha did the same thing after taking Elijah's mantle after he was taken. He used that to part the water and to walk on dry land. Elisha only knew that because Elijah taught him. That he saw Elijah do it, so now he knew what to do. But Elisha was mentored by Elijah, that great prophet, to serve the Lord. We think about Eli and Samuel. How Samuel was, for lack of a better term, gifted to the Lord. His mom said, you know, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And of course she did. And Samuel was to serve in the temple under Eli. And Eli taught Samuel a thing or two. When the Lord called to Samuel by night, he didn't know what to do. He thought Eli was calling him out of bed. And Eli told him exactly what to do, to listen to the Lord and say, "Here am I, and I am your servant." Samuel learned a lot from that mentor-mentee relationship. We think about Paul and how great of a missionary he was. How great of a man of God that he was to go out and go on these missionary journeys, but he too had a mentor. You know, sometimes we forget about Barnabas, who's, you know, has a little bit of the storyline and then is quickly forgotten. And it's all about Paul. But Barnabas took Paul under his wing. Barnabas was the one that took Paul to the brethren and you know, kind of brought him into the fold, if you will. Barnabas was the one that took Paul on his first missionary journey and kind of showed him the ropes. And then we see Paul continuing that, training others to serve when he takes Mark and Timothy and all the other ones to go with him. He trains them. That we pass it down. We need to train to serve. I think about my life. I think I've told you before, but you know, I'm thankful for the men that taught me how to teach Sunday school. That sat in the room while I taught and you know, they helped me when I stumbled. And I can always remember when I first learned how to door knock, and that is the scariest thing imaginable. I do not like going. I will admit that. It's scary to knock on a stranger's door, but I went with my uncle, and he liked to talk. He had no fear. He would talk to anybody, knock on any door, so I never had to talk as a teenager. But one day, he knocked on a door and stepped off the porch. And there I am, just stumbling and bumbling, not knowing what to do. But it was great comfort knowing that he was behind me, that he was there to help me stumble through it, pick up, and take over the conversation if need be. But we need to train each other. We need to train the younger generations. We need to be ready to serve the Lord. We need to teach by the Word of God and by being an example. You know, it's not enough just to tell somebody what to do. Our actions should show them. Our actions should teach them. We can't tell somebody to serve the Lord if we're not serving Him ourselves. But we need to train to serve. We need to continue to prepare. It's not something we do in our youth and then quickly forget. You know, I'm thankful for those, again, that have trained me and that are continuing to do so. But it doesn't mean you ever stop learning. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've served. There's always something to prepare for. You know, 2 Timothy, Timothy's encouraged to continue in the faith that he learned from his mother and his grandmother. To continue, to keep on learning, to keep on preaching, to keep on preparing for battle. You know, you can think about any great battles in history, and they all had one thing in common. Whether they won or lost, they had a battle plan. And they would study that battle plan. They would know that plan, and sometimes we know that our plans don't always work the way they should. But there is one battle plan that will not fail, and of course that's the Word of God. You know, we're given the battle plan. We're told we have the victory. We tell exactly how to get to the finish line victorious. We need to study that battle plan. We need to prepare for battle. and have the battle plan that is for sure to work. We know that we need to draw closer to the Lord, that He will fight our battles. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and of course they were looking back at the Egyptian army, they were scared, they were terrified, they were murmuring against God and Moses once again, wishing they would just go back to Egypt and become slaves and not have to be on the run. And Moses told them one simple thing. He told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He told them the Lord is going to fight this battle. You don't have to do a thing. Just stand here and the Lord will fight. When David went to Goliath, yes, he launched that stone. But David did not fight that battle. He did not fight that battle. I don't care how good you are with that sling. David could not have done that in his own power. The Lord guided that stone. He knew what he needed to be done. We need to draw closer. He's going to fight the battles for us. So this man, Benaiah, he was prepared for this day. He was prepared that when the time arose, he was going to fill his shoes as a mighty, mighty warrior, a mighty man of valor. And he did so on that snowy day. And that's going to come more and more important as we go through here. But the second thing we want to look at is he was passionate. He was prepared for this day, but he was passionate about his duties to the Lord and to King David. In verse 22, we're told that he went up against great men of Moab. He went up against great men. He was a passionate servant of the Lord. He risked so much. He says, "And who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab." So yes, Benaiah was a mighty man of valor, but he went up against two mighty men of Moab and slew them both. He was passionate. He risked his life time and time again to serve his Lord and to serve his King. He was passionate about against the enemy. You know, he didn't take them lightly. He didn't try to walk with the enemy as we do so often. We try to walk with the world, don't we? We try to take the world lightly, thinking they're not going to have an effect on us. We'll bring them up. They're not going to bring us down. That never works. He didn't take them lightly. He didn't try to walk with them. They were the enemy of God, and they were enemies of the nation of Israel. Therefore, they were an enemy of His. Those Moabites, they were enemy of His God against His country. And He took it upon Himself that they were also enemies of Him. He was passionate. He wasn't afraid to fight these lion-like men. And think about that. These men were known as lion-like men. The king of the jungle, a fierce predator. And that's the nickname these men had. I can only assume that they weren't given this nickname because they were all about hugs and tickles and all those things. They were lion-like men. They were great men of warrior. No doubt they had their own stories and renown. And no doubt they slew many men in their day. But Benaiah, he was passionate, he was not afraid. They were great warriors. He didn't try to imitate these men. You know, growing up as a kid, you know, that's a cool nickname. A lion-like man, I want to be that when I grow up, or I want to be known as that. But Benaiah said, no way. They might be the cool guys, they may have the cool nickname and the cool persona. We said, that doesn't matter. They're enemies of my Lord and they're enemies of mine. He was passionate about this day. We know the lions are a great enemy to the sheep. That's why the devil is referred to as a lion roaming about, seeking who may devour. These men were great enemies of the Lord. And Benaiah, he was passionate about his service, and he was going to take it upon himself to slay these men. We need to be passionate about our Lord. We need to be passionate against our enemies as Benaiah did. We can't be passionate about our Lord and say that we love the Lord if we don't say that we're against His enemies. We can't befriend His enemies and then say that we serve the Lord. It doesn't work like that. We need to stand up to the enemies of the Lord. We should have a great love and a great passion for the Lord. You know, after all, we looked at it a little bit earlier, but He loved us so much more. The Lord loved us so much more than we could ever love Him. But yet we should just love Him. As David wrote in the psalm we looked at in Sunday school, that I love the Lord because, and there's so many reasons there. Matthew 22:37 tells us that we should love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our minds. Our full being, we should love the Lord, nothing left out. That is how much we should love Him. You know, Paul and James, and Paul being, again, that great missionary, and James, of course, being the half-brother of Christ, and if any two men had reasons to brag, it would be Paul and James. Paul, because he was a great missionary. James, because he was kinfolk to the Lord himself. You know, how many times do we try to use the people that we're related to as an edge up? Well, so-and-so is my dad, or so-and-so is my grandfather, or my mother, or grandmother, or cousin, or uncle. We take a little bit of pride, and we feel like we deserve special treatment. And James, he could have said, well, my brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they both opened their letters declaring that they are servants of the Lord. Paul didn't say he was a great missionary. James didn't say that Christ is my brother, so listen to me. They both said, I am a servant. They were passionate about their work. We should be passionate about our service to the Lord. We're told to do everything as unto the Lord. Everything we do, whether it be work or school or playtime or serving in the church or even going to a restaurant or whatever it may be, we are to do it as we're doing it to the Lord. We look at the life of Christ, and that's a very interesting study if you just look at the life of Christ and what he did on this earth. But everything he did, he was all about his Father's business. Everything was to the Father. His Father sent him to do a job, and he never strayed from that job. It doesn't matter the job that we have. We're to do it joyfully for him with great eagerness. And I think I might have mentioned this before, but you know, I taught Sunday school once to the junior boys, and I asked them who the greatest in the church was. You know, who's the greatest? And they said the pastor. Of course, he is the greatest. I would say the same thing. The pastor is the greatest of the church. But I challenge them, you know, go to pastor and ask him that question. And I would bet anything, if I was a betting man, that the pastor would never say himself. In fact, he would probably list himself last, but just because our duty is to teach Sunday school or maybe it's just to clean up the church when nobody else is around doesn't make it any less important. Doesn't make it any less useful to the Lord. And we may think lowly upon it, but the Lord does not. And we are to do those things joyfully for him. Whatever service we're given to, whatever service that the Lord has placed before us, do it eagerly, do it with great joy as unto the Lord. Benaniah was passionate. I don't think I would like to get up on a snow day and do these things, or I don't think I would like to get up on any day and go up against two lion-like men of Moab. But Benaniah did it because he was passionate. We should be passionate with our prayer life. You know, too often we lack in our prayer life. Once again, I'm so pleased you guys are praying so often together. We need that as God's people. To come together and pray together for each other, for the Lord's church. I like what R.A. Torrey once said. He said, the reason why many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles, fight them on your knees before temptations comes, and you will always have victory. You know, how many battles have we lost in our lives because we didn't consult the Lord? We didn't take the time and pray that he will guide us through it. But in reality, our battles are won far before we fight them if we just go to the Lord. He will grant the victory. We think about Israel. You know, and they were gaining speed at this time. They were a mighty army, so to speak, and they came to fight little old Ai. And it was time to conquer this small country, this small army. And not only did they only take a fraction of their army to go and do battle, they didn't ask the Lord. They didn't consult the Lord. They didn't ask for the victory. And little old Ai ended up slaying them, and they ran home with their tails between their legs. They were defeated because they didn't consult the Lord. We should be passionate about our prayer life. Never stop praying. We see not only was Benaniah prepared and passionate, we see that he was preserved. The Lord watched over him. He went down on a snowy day to slay a lion in a pit. On a snowy day. Now again, I don't think I want to fight a lion on a clear day. But on a snowy day where surely this lion, this animal, this beast had the advantage. And Benaniah took it upon himself to go down to this pit. And I found some things interesting about this. Yes, it was a snowy day. But notice the direction he had to travel. You know, he persevered. He went through it. He didn't quit, no matter how tough the terrain was in front of him. Said he went down into a pit. He went down. It wasn't an easy journey. He had to climb into this pit, which means a hole, a well, or a dungeon. Again, I don't want to climb into a pit on a good day. I'm out of shape. But let alone on a snowy day where things are slippery, it's hard to get down there and knowing you have to come back up. You know, if you go down, like we were on a walk this afternoon, and you know, you walk as far as you walk there, you have to walk that far back. And you always keep that in mind. So not only did he have to go into the pit, he had to walk out of this pit. But he persevered. And not only did he wasn't afraid of the direction, he wasn't discouraged because of the way that he had to go down and come back. He persevered in spite of the difficulty. Yeah, you know, that climb for me probably would have been a hard thing to do, to climb in that pit and climb out, but that wasn't the hardest part of the situation. A lion was waiting for him. And if you're climbing down into a dungeon, into a pit, that lion has the advantage. That lion is already there, and no doubt he's hungry, as the Daniel in the lion's den, and that played out. But this lion was probably hungry, built for this purpose. And this Benaniah had to crawl into this pit with a lion waiting, the ferocious predator, the king of the jungle. And although Benaniah was trained as a warrior, no doubt he was trained to fight. He knew how to battle. But I guarantee you, he never tried to battle a lion. That probably wasn't part of their training. Their training was to fight another man, to fight an army. But now he had to fight a whole different animal. He had to fight a lion, to fight a great predator. And another thing about Benaniah, we're told that he is somewhat of a man of great notoriety, if you will. He wasn't just the lowest of the low. You know, it turns out that he was the captain of the king's guard later, but no doubt even at this time, he had some warriors under him. He could have delegated this responsibility. I very well truly believe he could have ordered another soldier to go and try to fight that lion. And if that man perished, he could have sent another man to go fight that lion, and so on and so forth. But he did what needed to be done. He wasn't afraid of the unknown. The Lord needed that lion to be removed. The nation of Israel needed that lion to be removed. And he did what needed to be done. He persevered through it all. He persevered in spite of the day. You know, that snowy day. He very easily could have taken that day off, as we like to do and have those snow days. He could have relaxed, took a day away from battles and to rest up. Maybe he could have had a little bit of fun. Maybe he could have went and saw his family or something. But he didn't hunker down. He didn't wait out the weather. He didn't say, I'll fight that lion when the weather's clearer. I'll fight that lion when I have the advantage. He went down and fought that lion in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a snowstorm. He kept fighting. He persevered through it all. And just like Benaniah, we need to persevere. We know the battle is ongoing, the race is still before us, and it's not going to end until the Lord comes home or he takes us home to him. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the old saying, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll rest when things are over. We know that this serving the Lord isn't easy. We grow weary, we faint, we stumble. But the time to rest is when we're with the Lord. We need to keep fighting, to keep going, to keep persevering for the Lord. Matthew 11:28, we give the promise, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give us that great rest. We go to him. We go to the Lord, and he will give us rest in the midst of our trials and in our battles. Turn over to Matthew 24. Keep your place here if you want. But Matthew 24, in verse number 45. It says, who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We should be like that servant who was found doing. It's easy for us to take a day off when the boss is gone. I see that so far at work. You know, when our boss, our big bosses are gone for the day or leave early, it's so easy to slack off, to not do what we need to do. And it's so easy to do as a church when we think no one else is watching. It's easy to take a snow day and take a day off. But we're told we don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know when He is going to return. We're told that blessed is that man, that servant, that when the Lord does come, that found so doing, that hasn't given up, that is persevering, that is continuing to fight, continuing to work and serve the Lord. We are never to quit fighting for the Lord. We notice that Benaniah in verse 23 of our text. He was prepared. He was positive. He was persevering. And finally, he was positive in verse 23. He says, "And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hands was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear." You know, this story, this little verse should sound very familiar to us. You know, this man was not intimidated. This man was a great warrior, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And roughly, depending on the definition of cubit, we don't really know, but roughly that's 7.5 feet tall. And yes, that is smaller than Goliath, but still a giant nonetheless. You know, if you ask me whether I would rather fight this guy or Goliath, it doesn't matter. Both of them would crush me like a bug. It wouldn't matter. But this man went and fought a giant. He wasn't intimidated against this great warrior. He didn't feel inferior. You notice another similarity to this giant and Goliath. It says that his spear was like a weaver's beam. That's what Goliath carried, a weaver's beam as a spear. So there wasn't too much of a difference there. But this enemy had a weaver's beam, a great wooden spear. And this man just had a staff. An inferior weapon by all accounts. And he didn't feel inferior. He was not intimidated. He wasn't afraid. He was positive. He was positive he could defeat this enemy. You know, not too many people go into a battle they know they can't win. And I know it's time from time that happens, where you sacrifice yourselves. We hear of great men that have sacrificed themselves so that others could get away, and that does happen. But as a great warrior, you would at least call for somebody to back you up, right? You had an army behind you. There were other mighty men of Israel. David had others. But he was positive he was going to win, that he was going to have the outcome because the Lord was with him. He knew that God has granted the victory. And we need to be positive in that sense. We know that God has granted the victory. You know, as the old song goes, "I've read the back of the book and we win." We already won. God has already told us what is going to happen. We just need to go and fight the battles or go through those motions, if you will, because we know that He'll deliver us from it. We're told that men can only harm this flesh and that we are to fear Him that can harm our soul more than the flesh. The flesh doesn't matter. You know, they can hurt us, they can harm us. They can even take this life away if the Lord allows them to do so. But the Lord has granted us the victory of death, that we will be with Him for all eternity in glory. We're told that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This man, Benaniah, he knew that he could do all things. He knew that the Lord was with him, that the Lord was with the nation of Israel. He knew when he went and fought this giant, this man, that no matter the outcome, the Lord was on his side. And wasn't that what Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar? You know, they said, if the Lord wants us to perish, he'll have us perish. But if the Lord wants to save us, He can. But if not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to listen. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be positive that our Lord will deliver us one way or another. We're asked the question, who shall be against us? And of course, the answer is no one to those that serve the Lord. No one can come against our Lord. No one can come against our Savior. No one can come against our God. We see that Benaniah, he was positive. In spite of that snowy day, in spite of all those things against him, he went into battle with a positive attitude, knowing that he'd be victorious. And then finally, in verse 25, tells us, "Behold, he was an honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first 3, and David set him over his guard." We see that because of all this, He was promoted. Benaniah reached another stepping stone, if you will. He was made captain of the king's guard, of David's guard. You know, there must be a great deal in honor of trust placed on Benaniah. You know, David had many enemies from inside and without. And the captain of his guard was the one that was closest to him. The ones that went with David everywhere. You know, where David slept, these men slept. Where David went, these men went. And Benaniah was the captain. He had access to the king, access to David. But David had great trust in this man. All because Benaniah refused to take that snow day and do those things. Eventually, we see in 1 Kings, you want to turn there in 1 Kings chapter 2, that he was promoted in this scenario, but he was also promoted once again. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 34. It says, "So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness." And that is talking about Joab there. And he says, "And the king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar." We see that he put Benaniah over the host. He became the general of the whole army, replacing Joab. He became the king, the general of the whole army. You know, we're told that if we endure, if we persevere, we will be promoted. Whether it be on this side of glory or the next, the Lord will bless. You know, just because a snow day prevents itself, it's not a time for us to rest. And I encourage you, you know, as you seek a pastor, there will be that thought that you could just take a snow day. You could take a day off. You know, who would know? We don't have a pastor here to direct us in that. But the Lord's here. The Lord knows. We may be tempted to take a snow day, take a service off, take some time off. You may have the feeling that it's okay if we just, you know, not do the ministries that we once have. Don't take that snow day. Don't take that snow day and just push everything off. Keep on persevering. Keep the passion for the Lord. Look unto Him and be ye saved, as we looked at this morning. You know, it's tempted. There's days that I'm tempted to take that snow day. It'd be much easier not to study. Much easier not to read. Much easier to phone it in. You know, our pastor started doing these popcorn messages, and really it's kind of scary, but it is one of those ways to make sure that we're always studying. And those are those things that any moment, during any point of any service, he'll just call our name and we got to come up and give a thought. We should always be ready. We should always be willing to serve, not take that snow day. I know that the days that I do take that snow day is the day that he's going to call me up to that pulpit in front of everybody. And then the whole congregation would know that I took that snow day and I failed and didn't do what I was supposed to do. But snow days are coming, you know, both physically, you know, and spiritually. They're coming. They're coming in our life where we just feel like staying home and hunkering down. But Benaniah refused that snow day. He refused to take that day off. He went down to that pit and slew that lion on a snowy day. When everything was stacked against him, he did something great for the Lord. That's what we need to be. We need to be like Benaniah and persevere through all things and refuse to take it easy. It is to keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for